At the sound of the late clock, Miss Kilman paused in the street for a moment, talking under her breath. "It is human weakness," she said. She had expected Clarissa Dalloway to insult her, to laugh at her for being ugly and awkward. But Miss Kilman had failed, for she minded the way she looked and talked beside Clarissa. But why did she want to be like her? Mrs. Dalloway was not serious or good. Her life was empty. She hated Mrs. Dalloway from the bottom of her heart. Yet Doris Kilman had been defeated. She had nearly cried when Clarissa Dalloway laughed at her. But she would think about something else until she reached the end of the street. At least she had Elizabeth. But no one knew the pain. The world had rejected her, first for her ugly body, which people could not bear to look at. And for a woman, of course, that meant never meeting the opposite sex, never coming first with anyone. Sometimes it seemed to her that, except for Elizabeth, all she lived for was her simple comforts, her dinner, her tea, her hot water bottle at night. But one must fight. One must pray. But why should she have to suffer when women like Clarissa Dalloway escaped? Miss Kilman was still talking to herself when Elizabeth turned into the shop. "What department did she want?" Elizabeth interrupted.
"Petticoats," Miss Kilman answered, and marched straight to the lift.
Up they went, and Elizabeth guided her to the petticoats as if she were a big child. The shop girl thought Miss Kilman was mad. Elizabeth began to wonder, as the girl wrapped up the petticoat, what Miss Kilman was thinking. "They must now have their tea," said Miss Kilman, controlling herself. Sitting opposite her in the tea room, Elizabeth began to wonder whether Miss Kilman was very hungry. She had a way of looking again and again at a plate of cakes on the table next to them. When a child came and took a cake, could Miss Kilman really mind it? Yes, she did mind. She had wanted that cake, the pink one. The pleasure of eating was almost the only pure pleasure left to her, but she was defeated even in that. Often, after Elizabeth's lessons, Miss Kilman would stay and talk. She would talk about her unhappiness, about the war, about books, about meetings. "Not everyone thought the English were right about everything," she said. "There were other points of view." "Would Elizabeth like to come with her and listen to Mr. Somebody?" A most extraordinary-looking old man. "All professions, law, medicine, politics, are open to young women now," Miss Kilman said. Was it her fault that her own chance to have a profession had been ruined?
"Good heavens, no," said Elizabeth.
Her mother was always very, very nice to Miss Kilman and gave her flowers when they were sent some from Boughton. But Miss Kilman and her mother were terrible together. They had nothing to say to each other. And what interested Miss Kilman bored her mother. But then, Miss Kilman was awfully clever. Elizabeth had never thought about the poor. The Dalloways lived with everything they wanted. Lucy took her mother breakfast in bed every day. But Miss Kilman said one day,
"My grandfather had a little shop."
She made one feel so small, so inferior. Miss Kilman took another cup of tea. Elizabeth sat perfectly upright. No, she did not want anything else. She looked for her gloves.
"Oh, but she must not go."
Miss Kilman could not let her go, this beautiful young girl whom she loved. Her large hand opened and shut on the table. Miss Kilman said,
"I've not quite finished yet."
Of course, then, Elizabeth would wait, but it was rather hot.
Are you going to the party tonight?
Miss Kilman said. Elizabeth supposed she was. Her mother wanted her to go.
Elizabeth must not attach too much importance to parties, Miss Kilman said, holding the last piece of her cake between her thick fingers.
She did not much like parties, Elizabeth said.
Miss Kilman opened her mouth, pushing her chin forward, and swallowed down the last 2 inches of cake. She cleaned her fingers and washed the tea round in her cup. She was about to crack open, she felt. The pain was unbearable. All she wanted was to make Elizabeth hers forever and then die. But to sit here, unable to think of anything to say, was too much. To see Elizabeth turning against her, finding her ugly, was too much to bear.
I never go to parties,
said Miss Kilman, just to prevent Elizabeth leaving. People don't ask me to parties. She knew she should not show such self-pity, but she could not help it. She had suffered so horribly.
Why should they ask me? She said. I'm plain. I'm unhappy.
She knew it was foolish. But it was all those people walking past with their shopping who hated her that made her say it. However, she was Doris Kilman. She had been to university. She had made her own way in the world.
I don't pity myself, she said. I pity.
She meant to say, your mother. But she could not. Not to Elizabeth.
I pity other people more, she said.
Like a gentle horse who has been led quietly to the gate of a field without knowing why, and stands there wanting only to run away, Elizabeth sat silent. Was Miss Kilman going to say anything more?
Don't forget me,
said Doris Kilman, her voice trembling. The horse raced right away to the end of the field in terror. Elizabeth turned her head. The waitress came.
One had to pay at the desk, Elizabeth said, getting up.
And Miss Kilman felt the insides of her body being dragged out of her, stretching as Elizabeth crossed the room. And then, with a final pull, nodding her head very politely, Elizabeth went. She had gone. Miss Kilman sat in the tea room, among the cakes, struck by shocks of suffering. Elizabeth had gone. Mrs. Dalloway had won. Beauty and youth had gone. Then she got up heavily, walking uncertainly among the little tables, until someone came after her with her petticoat. She lost her way among the leather bags, baby clothes, medicines, flowers, and at last came out onto the street. She would find a church. She would hide her face in her hands and pray, trying to free herself both of hatred and love. But the path to God was not smooth. Elizabeth waited in Victoria Street for a bus. It was so nice to be out in the fresh air, and perhaps she need not go home just yet. She would get onto a bus. And already, as she stood there in her fine clothes, it was beginning. People were beginning to compare her to a tall tree, a pale rose, a shy young deer, and she wanted to escape it. She so much preferred being left alone in the country with her father and the dogs, away from London, away from parties, away from men falling in love with her. Buses came and went, but which should she get on? She held herself back, not wanting to push, very straight, very calm, almost beautiful. Suddenly, Elizabeth stepped forward and confidently got on a bus in front of everybody. She took a seat outside, on the top. She was an adventurer, delighted to be free.
The fresh air was lovely. It was like riding a horse to be rushing up Whitehall with the wind in her hair. It was always talking about her own sufferings that made Miss Kilman so difficult. But was she right? Wasn't giving up hours and hours every day for government meetings, she hardly ever saw her father in London, helping the poor? She liked people who were ill. All professions are open to young women now, Miss Kilman had said. So she might be a doctor. She might be a farmer. Animals are often ill. She might own a lot of land and have people working for her. She would visit them in their cottages. The bus stopped by Somerset House. So splendid, so serious. She liked the feeling of people busily working inside, in all of its offices. She might be a very good farmer, she thought, looking at Somerset House. It made her quite determined, despite what her mother might say, to become either a farmer or a doctor. But it was better to say nothing about it. It seemed so silly. It was the sort of thing that did sometimes happen when one was alone. The sight of a splendid, serious building had more power than any book Miss Kilman lent her to make her thoughts break to the surface just for a moment. And now she must go home. She must dress for dinner. But what was the time? Where was a clock? A breath of wind blew a cloud over the sun, and the bright colour of the buses suddenly faded. The clouds gathered and moved, now giving light to the earth, now darkness.